You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 22. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets." Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question: "Who do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet'? If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son?" No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Let us pray. Dear God, we confess to you today, even still, the problem of worshiping idols. And yet we thank you that you are the one true living God that has the power to save us. So help us to have faith in you and to live out our faith by caring for one another. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, happy Reformation Day. Yeah, yeah. Reformation Day technically, of course, is October 31st, All Hallows Eve, Halloween, because the next day on November 1st, everybody goes to church. At least they did in the 1500s in Germany. And so Luther posted his 95 theses the night before on October 31st, because he knew everyone would be coming to church the next day and they would read his 95 theses. What were they really about? Well, they all kind of came back to one theme over and over again: indulgences, right? Indulgences. Now, today we think of an indulgence as like a Haagen-Dazs ice cream bar, okay? I want to indulge myself. But that's not what he meant. Indulgences were a form of idolatry in the time of Luther that the church had gotten into the practice of using. And it really was a problem. Now, an indulgence was something you did, okay, or you paid for it, and increasingly it was something you paid for that gave you spiritual power and gave you time in heaven. And there was quite a system put in place that would extract money from people and get them to do things. And they were thinking, this is going to give me time in heaven. And that was a problem. It was a problem because people were putting faith not in God, but in their own ability to earn their salvation. One of the main ways that indulgences happened was venerating holy artifacts, like maybe... Today we talk about the Shroud of Turin, you know, as this possible cloth that Jesus was wrapped in. And in the 1500s, there were all kinds of things, little artifacts, pieces from history that were associated with maybe an apostle. And the idea was, if you went and you, you know, crawled on your knees from the back of the church to the front of the church, and then you prayed in front of this thing, then you'd be earning some time in heaven. So as the Reformation started to unfold, and Luther wasn't the only reformer, some reformers said, we got to take all this stuff and we got to get it out of the churches. We got to clean house and just make the worship space as simple as possible. And that wasn't really Luther. Luther was a bit more conservative than that. He said, you know, the traditions don't bother me so much, the artifacts. It's just, what do we put our faith in? Ourselves and our ability to work, or God's grace? And that ties in really well with our readings that we're doing right now. Last week we talked about 1 Thessalonians, and again, 1 Thessalonians is in our readings this morning. Now it's the second chapter. And we're thinking back about that time when Paul went to the city of Thessalonica in Greece / Macedonia and evangelized the people. And if we pick up where we left off last week we did chapter 1, this week chapter 2, Paul says in verse 1, you yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our coming to you was not in vain. So that when they came, they were productive, they were effective. People listened to Paul and his missionary team, and they came to faith. Paul goes on to write in verse 2, but though we had already suffered and been shamefully mistreated at Philippi, what does that mean? Paul says, as you know, we already suffered and became shamefully mistreated at Philippi. Well, the Bible actually tells us what happened. Paul, before he came to Thessalonica, he went to Philippi. And he went there with his team. And they did what they did. They would show up to a town. They would go to the synagogue and check in with faithful, God-fearing people. And they would say, hey, we have a message we'd like to share. And they started doing this in Philippi. And after a while, he's more out in the marketplace. And in the marketplace, something unusual happened. There was a young woman, a young adult, and she was a slave. She belonged to two people in the way things happened back then. And not only was she enslaved by them economically, but she also had a spiritual enslavement. This young woman was possessed by a demon. And the demon had a supernatural power to tell fortunes. And so these two owners we read about in the book of Acts, they have this young woman, their slave, and they would charge people to have their fortunes told by her and the demon that was inside of her. And this went on every day, every day. And as Paul's out there preaching and teaching, this young woman would see him and she would cry out, get that man away from me, because he is serving God on high, the most powerful God. And she would cry out, this demon inside of her acknowledged the power that Paul had in his preaching, the word of God. And Paul, after hearing this day after day, decides that the best thing to do would be to free this young woman. And so he says, by the power of God, the demon, get out. It's an exorcism. And the demon does leave her. And at that moment, she no longer has the ability to read fortunes, because it was the demon that could do it. And the owners of her get very angry with Paul, because this was their business model. Charge people to have their fortunes told by our slave, and we live well financially. It was a good deal, at least for them. So they were upset with Paul that he freed her. And they were so upset that they got a mob together saying, this guy's causing trouble. He's disrupting the way that we do things around here. And furthermore, with all this talk about God and Jesus, He's not worshiping the emperor. And that wasn't really a false accusation. And so Paul was arrested in Philippi, him and Timothy. And this story you might remember, when they're arrested and they're in the jail in Philippi, this is when at night there's an earthquake. And the walls come down and they could escape. But rather than escaping, he converts the jailer, saying, you know, we'll stay here and I want to tell you about Jesus. And the jailer comes to faith too. And eventually the town just says, you know what, Paul, just get out of our town. Just leave. The jail crumbled in an earthquake. You liberated the slave girl. The jailer's a Christian now. Just leave. And he did. That's the story. That's the background when he says, you know how we were mistreated in Philippi. So the theme this morning is idolatry. 500 years ago, the church was struggling with worshiping relics and, most importantly, worshiping their own ability to save themselves. In the time of Paul, the idolatry was worshiping the emperor and worshiping money. This couple had enslaved this girl and hurt her in order to make money for themselves. And the first and greatest commandment is, love the Lord your God and have no other idols. Don't worship anything else. And when we take that seriously, that means that any of that idol worship, any of those things of putting anything in place of God, we are called to repent away from. And that's exactly what Paul wanted to do for the Thessalonians. So picking up again in verse 2, he says, that's what happened in Philippi. As you know, we had courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of great opposition. So even though he's opposed, even though he's been thrown in jail, he comes to Thessalonica to give them the gospel. Now there's something you got to know about that word that's so important today, that word gospel. In Spanish, the word for gospel is evangelio. Repeat after me, evangelio. Evangelio. Muy bien. All right. What does that sound like in English? Evangelical. Evangelical, right? We hear that word all the time. Evangelical. It's in our name. We are the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And gospel comes from that word too. And in the Greek, it's euangelion. Repeat after me, euangelion. Awesome job, A+. Euangelion. Paul says, we came to you, despite the great opposition, with a euangelion. Now, here's the thing you got to know about the word euangelion. Paul didn't just grab that word out of nowhere. It was used all the time. And a euangelion in ancient Greece, in this Greek, I guess it wasn't ancient Greece, in the Greek Empire, followed by the Romans, was any time the Caesar won a battle, right? Anytime the army conquered a town, put down a rebellion, or expanded its territory, they would send out a royal proclamation throughout all the empire letting everyone know about Caesar's great success. And this royal dispatch of news, of good news, sent out everywhere with this update, Caesar conquered another city. It was called a what? A euangelion. The very word that Paul uses was the word that was used for the Caesar conquering a new land, a euangelion, a good news message. And Paul has the audacity to take that word and say, I have a euangelion for you. You are saved not by the emperor, but by Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, who rather than with weapons of conquest turned the other cheek, gave his life as a ransom for many to save you and to give you eternal life. That is the true euangelion, That is the evangelio. That is the evangelical message. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, 500 years ago, Luther said, you're not going to get into heaven by doing these acts. Go ahead and worship. That's good. But it's Jesus and his unconditional love for you that brings you to heaven and stirs up faith in you. That is the evangelisch in German. That is the good news. So Paul goes on to write, I brought this good news to you, this euangelion. For our appeal does not spring forth from deceit or impure motives or trickery, right? You could see that in the slave girl situation. There was all kinds of trickery happening. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the message of the gospel, the euangelion, even so we speak not to please mortals, but to please God who tests our hearts. Paul says, we didn't come here to please you. Paul says, I'm not in the business of pleasing mortals, but to please God. Is there a difference between pleasing someone and caring for someone? What do you think? Is there a difference between pleasing and caring? If you think about a child, and a child comes to you, and it's time for lunch, and there's a healthy lunch with vegetables, and the child says, I want a soda. I can please the child by giving a soda, but am I really caring for the child? No, right? Sometimes you can overlap and please and care for someone at the same time. That's great. But caring is much deeper than just pleasing. Paul says, I came here to care for you. We cared for you so much, we were like a mother nursing a newborn child. That's how much we love you and care for you. And by the way, Paul says, that is different than pleasing you. Paul's message was very unpleasing to some people. That's why there was controversy stirred up wherever he went. He was disrupting the order of worshiping idols and the Caesar. That did not please people. But he wanted to go below pleasing them and to really care for them. Look, what's really going to help you, rather than drinking a soda when you're hungry, although I have to say I've drinking a Coca-Cola when I was hungry, it was pretty amazing. We were in Mexico one time building a house when I was on internship, and the house we were building was out of adobe block, ladrillo. And we were mixing the mud with the family. It was a hand-in-hand operation. And we worked all day, never stopped for lunch. And by the time it was 3 o'clock, we were starving. And the family walked around with big 2-liter bottles of Coca-Cola, filling them with styrofoam cups. Wow. Now I know why that product sells so well all over the world. Because when that hits you on an empty stomach, all of a sudden you feel like you can go for another 3 hours. But does it really nourish you? No, it's a nice treat. To really care, God wants to care for us. God wants to nourish us, to give us a strength that passes understanding. And God calls us to do the same thing for others, to love and care for our neighbors unconditionally. One of the ways that we do that, my sisters and brothers in Christ, is by letting go of the temptation of thinking that we can control anyone. We can't control people. All we can do is love and care for people and let them be free in Christ to grow in their own wisdom and understanding, to love our neighbor and give them the freedom to know Christ and to grow in strength and in wisdom. Maybe the greatest temptation we have is thinking that we can control people, thinking that we can control God. We can't control anything. We are lucky if we can even control ourselves. How often have you looked back and thought, what was I thinking? The best we can do is to love God, to love our neighbor, and let our neighbor be free and to grow in their own wisdom and understanding. That is what Reformation Sunday is all about. That is what the gospel is all about. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.